And the fourth sorrow of St. Joseph was the prophecy of Simeon concerning the suffering of Mary and Jesus. This was at the temple, the presentation of the temple, and Simeon announced the suffering that was to come. But the joy was also the prophecy of Simeon concerning the effects of the redemption. From the sorrow and the joy, we learn about St. Joseph's abandonment to divine providence. Sacred Scripture tells us, after the days of Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, after they were accomplished, that St. Joseph and Our Lady carried the infant Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This was according to the law of Moses, that after 40 days from the birth of a child, the mother and the child were to be presented in the temple to God. Sacred Scripture says, now, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was in him. And he had received an answer from the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. So when the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph entered the temple, Simeon immediately went to them. Being enlightened by the Holy Ghost, he knew who it was before him. And he took the child Jesus into his own arms. And he said, "And blessed God, now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation." He was blessing our Lord that now he was set. It was now the time, because he had seen the Savior. And Simeon blessed them, and then he said to our Blessed Mother, to Mary his mother, Sacred Scripture says, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted." And pointing to our Blessed Mother, he said, "Thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed." There was such sorrow given to Saint Joseph on this occasion. Blessed Peter Julian Amard says, when Joseph learned that a sword would pierce Mary's soul, he fathomed the full meaning of Isaiah's prophecy concerning the sufferings and humiliations of the Messiah. From that moment on, he bore the sorrow of both Mary and Jesus. The thought of their sufferings never left him. He bore their sorrow, and the thought of their sufferings never left him. There he was, standing with his beloved spouse and his infant. A man enlightened by the Holy Ghost says that the beloved spouse, Mary, would have a sword pierce her heart. There stands Saint Joseph, the husband, hearing that. He stands there as the man filled with the Holy Ghost says, "The child is set for the fall," foretells what will happen. And Saint Joseph is there listening to what will happen to his divine child. Joseph knew what terrible suffering was ahead. Suffering for his spouse and his child. He knew he could not stop it. He knew he was not to stop it. He couldn't relieve them of it. He was not to do so. But his heart was pierced by it. Remember, he is a husband. He is a father. The suffering to come. He knew it was the will of God. Though saddened, though it never left his mind, he was completely united to God's will about it. He trusted that God's plan would bring good, though at the time all he could see was the suffering to come. He was abandoned to God's will for the future. It was in God's hands. Now again, our difficulties, our pains and sorrows are only a slight shadow of that. But thinking of our future sorrows can sometimes be very difficult for us. Looking to the future, maybe knowing something is going to come that is difficult, or wondering, what if, the what ifs of life. What if that happens? What if that never happens? What if I lose the job? What if I have to work with that person again? What if the economy plunges? What if my son doesn't come around in time? What if my child won't listen to me? What about my health? What if, what if? We have a lot of what ifs in life because there is a future and we are not all knowing. We, though, are to do as Saint Joseph. Look to his example. Trustfully leave the future in God's hands. He trustfully left the agony he saw ahead in God's hands. Saint Joseph then spent every day showering comfort and love upon his little infant God. He spent every day bestowing kindness and assistance upon our Blessed Mother. The thought of the sorrows never left him. He knew, though, that it was in God's hands. And he gave himself to the present moment. The present moment. Spending his time consoling and caring and working for his holy family. The knowledge of the future did not keep him from dealing with the present. And you see, that's what the devil at times tempts us with. The devil tempts us at times to be too preoccupied with the future. What can we do about the future? All we can do about the future is pray, leave it in God's hands. The devil uses it to stir us up because it keeps us from dealing with the present as well as we should. St. Therese, the little flower, she has a beautiful poem about the day, the present day. And she herself prayed, just give me today, today, the grace to carry today's cross. Just today, Lord, just today. That's the cross our Lord wants us to carry. That's what our Lord wants us to think about and deal with, the present day. The word worry, as I've mentioned in previous conferences to some of you, that it was so interesting when I looked up a few things and saw that the word worry comes from a German word that means strangle. Is that amazing? It's amazing because it makes sense. That's what anxiety over the future does to us. It strangles us. It keeps us from breathing today. Suffocating. That's why St. Francis de Sales actually called it anxiety. Vapor from hell is what he called it. A vapor from hell. St. Francis de Sales, the meek and mild, said that anxiety is like a vapor from hell. That the devil seeks to put this fog in front of us so that we do not deal then with the present crosses, and also the present duties. It makes it harder for us to carry crosses when we are worrying. It makes us harder to be kind. Think about it. You don't have to say them out loud, but think about the experiences sometimes of something happens in your life. Your car breaks down. One day you're fine, you can deal with it, it's not great, but you can still be kind to people in the midst of it. Another day, if you're preoccupied and worrying about something in the future, the car breaks down, and you could turn into a ferocious lion. It's like the straw that breaks the camel's back. And why? Because we're already trying to deal with future crosses, future ones. So therefore, the present one that comes around is too heavy because we're trying to carry the ones that are 2 years away or maybe not even going to come. But in our mind, it's there. And we're trying to carry that, and then something comes up now. And that's why it is so deceptive, and it is used by the devil, anxiety, because it keeps us from practicing virtue as well. When an expected cross looms above your head and in your heart, turn your mind to your duties, your daily prayers. Don't waste time in guessing about the future. Don't let the unknown keep you from dealing with the known. Don't let the future that may not ever come keep you from dealing with what's happening now. What's productive? Productive is to pray today, sacrifice today, do all we can today. The example of the saints shows us what anxiety is and how to deal with it. Whether our anxiety is about great or small crosses, we need to follow the example of the saints. As Blessed Peter said, the thought of the future cross never left Saint Joseph. But he lived for the present day, striving to comfort our Lord, keeping his eyes on the Christ child. He did not let the thought of the future cross keep him from doing his present duty. The saints all had crosses. There is no salvation without the cross. We cannot have Christ without the cross. The saints all had concerns and difficulties. They show us, though, how to deal with it. Saint Monica, she feared for the future of her son. But what did she do? She prayed and she sacrificed and she kept it up. And like a good nagging mom, she did not stop. Nothing stopped her from praying more, nagging more, and sacrificing more. Saint Therese, she feared for the future in regard to her ailing father. Her father had dementia, and she was in the convent. She was so close to her father, and it crushed her to think about her father and his future and what was happening, how bad things could be. But what did she do? It did not hinder her from being prayerful today, cheerful today, working today. She left the future, her father's health. She left it in God's hands and continued to pray and sacrifice. St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, St. John Bosco, they are examples of people who had financial difficulties. St. John Bosco had so much difficulty at different points in his life, and at one point he sat down on a curb on a street and sobbed. He just cried because of financial difficulties. But what did he do? He got up and he prayed and he worked. And he left it in the hands of God, knowing somehow God would provide. Sometimes we worry about the state of the church. St. Pius X, he had overwhelming concern for the church and what was going on. He wrote an encyclical on modernism. He wrote it because he said the church had already been infiltrated. He lived in 1910, I think was his death. Early 1900s, he said the church was already infiltrated by modernism, the heresy of all heresies, he called it. We're living in the fruits of that heresy. He saw it. He saw what was to come. But what did he do? He wrote and wrote, and he laid down rules, and he cleared out the seminaries as much as he could where he could detect modernism. He did so much to protect the church. He worked and he prayed. He did not let his knowledge of the future keep him from dealing with the present. Here's a good example for us, the holy women. After the death of our Lord, the Sabbath was coming, so they had to take down the body of Christ and hurriedly place him in the tomb before the Sabbath. Those holy women, after the Sabbath, they rose early to go and do proper service for the body of Christ. And so they gathered ointments and cloths, and they made their way to the tomb of Christ. And this is right after the crucifixion of our Lord, the next morning. All the men are hiding, and the holy women get up, and they walk on the public streets and down the paths, and they go to do a service for Christ. What was the future for them? The reason the poor apostles were in hiding was because the future was a big question mark. Were all the followers of Christ going to be gathered and crucified? What will happen now? The disciples had scattered, the apostles had scattered. There was a question mark about the future, a worry, a very great worry. And then as they walked along with the ointments and the cloths to do this service to Christ with great courage and bravery because of their love for him, they realized as they walked along, and some practical one amongst them, who I think was St. Martha, but that's total opinion, and that's from my meditations. But I think that down-to-earth worker bee, St. Martha, said, according to sacred scripture, it says, who will roll away the stone? Now, they're partway there already. They've already gathered everything, and they already have their goal. And along the way, she says, who's going to roll away the stone? And by stone, we're not talking this. We're talking about a huge stone that seals the tomb. And that's all it says. Then they went on. Then they went on. They didn't halt. They didn't stop to worry, to be anxious. They didn't turn back and go home. They didn't give up a good deed. They didn't stop in their good deed despite anxiousness, fear, and confusion over what are we doing? Who's going to roll back the stone? They didn't just stop or cry. Instead, they went forward, continuing to do their good work. And they left the future in God's hands. A seemingly unsurmountable problem. It was in God's hands. If he wanted the stone moved, he'd move the stone. Somehow, God's will be accomplished. Moving a stone is not a big deal for him. So they forged on. And of course, the stone was moved. And they were able to go forward to do their good deed. These holy women, like the other saints and like Saint Joseph, give us an example of how we should deal with our worries about the future. Use it to motivate you to pray and to sacrifice. Use your concerns to make you holy and to draw you closer to our Savior. But leave the future in his hands. Do your daily duties. Do good deeds. When doubts and concerns, when anxiety hits, who will roll away the stone? If he wants my boss to be a kinder person, he'll make him a kinder person. Miracles happen. Leave it in God's hands and go about your own duties, saying your own prayers and performing sacrifices. And remember on this occasion as well that Saint Joseph, who bore constantly with the knowledge of future sufferings, was given a great joy. Because besides prophesying all the pains to come, Simeon also said, that Jesus was to be for the resurrection of many. Millions and millions of souls were to give glory to God for all eternity because of the sorrows of this child. The gates of heaven, which were closed, would now be open because of the sorrows of Christ. And so joy filled the heart of Saint Joseph on this occasion. It filled his heart along with his sorrow for the pain of Christ, but he, like our Lord and like our Blessed Mother, loved souls. They were all three so alike. They were united in everything. And Saint Joseph had a zeal, a longing to save souls, to save us. And so on this occasion, he rejoiced at the thought of the many souls who would now enter heaven. He knew how much glory would be given to God now because of the blood of Christ. He knew how much would be accomplished, that Christ would now reign in the hearts of many. The prophecy told him of reason to be joyful. And just as the hearts of Christ and our Blessed Mother burned with zeal for souls, so did his. Just as Jesus and Mary loved souls and gave themselves to that work of redemption, so did Saint Joseph. And so on this occasion of the announcement of future pain was also that announcement of the joy of the salvation of souls. When Saint Joseph left the temple, he left with sorrow, but with great joy. He left with great joy because he was carrying in his arms the light of the world. Darkness was in the world. The gates of heaven were closed. And now he knew in his arms was the light of the world and the breaking of the gates to heaven. The Messiah was here. His heart rejoiced. Redemption had come. What cause for joy? Hope was now fulfilled. God rewarded the faithful Saint Joseph for his abandonment, his trust. So he will do for us. Have faith in God's care and love for you. Trust in his love for you. He came down from heaven to shed his blood for you. Abandon your cares to him. He is all-powerful and all-loving. Concerns for the future? Trust in him. Know that he will reward your trust. He told Saint Margaret Mary, "My heart is a treasure chest," and that the key to that treasure chest was confidence in him. Hold the key. Hold the key. Use it often. Turn the key of confidence when there are troubles and trials. Turn the key of confidence. Our Lord wants us to trust in him. Have faith that he will bring good from all things. St. Paul said, "And we know that to them that love God, all things work together unto good." God will bring good. Remind yourself of that in troubling times. Use that key of confidence to turn away from anxiety and worry and fear of the future, and turn instead to the daily duty, the daily prayer, the daily sacrifice, knowing that our Lord is the answer. If he wants the stone to be rolled away, he will roll it away. If he wants something to happen, he will make it happen. But what he wants us to do is deal with, as St. Therese says, today. Today, Lord, today. And pray to St. Joseph, most faithful, that he assist you to faithfully confide all things to God's care.